Brother Clinton Smith, graduate of School for Kingdom Evangelizers and Pioneer Elder from the Hare River Congregation, will present the next talk of this symposium, How Our Brothers Are Showing Courage in North America.
Imagine the prophet Isaiah. Perhaps he's meditating and praying, when suddenly he receives a spectacular vision. He sees Jehovah's glorious throne in the heaven. And Jehovah has a special assignment for Isaiah. What is it? Let's look at Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8 together. That's Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Then I heard the voice of Jehovah saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Here I am, send me. Jehovah was looking for someone to speak in behalf of his organization. Did Isaiah hesitate? What about today? Is Jehovah again looking for ones who are willing to speak for his organization? How do we respond? Like Isaiah, do we say, Here I am, send me? This part will show how brothers and sisters here in North America are preaching and showing courage in a variety of circumstances. When we have to sign our name on a contract, we want to know what the fine print says. We want to know what we're getting ourselves into. But when Isaiah said to Jehovah, Send me, did he have very many details? Did the uncertainty about the future hold him back? How can we imitate Isaiah's example? Well, in the future, you and I may have an opportunity to serve where the need is greater, perhaps in another location or in another language field. How will we respond? Will we be held back by the unknowns? In the following video, notice how some of our brothers and sisters here in North America showed courage by willingly expanding their ministry.
They said, you've got to go to Alaska. One of the greatest assignments you can be provided from the branch.
And then he popped up with a question. He says, have you ever thought of going to Alaska? And we said, well, should we? We definitely had to pray about it, scripturally look up some things, and we talked to two couples that we knew that had served in Alaska. You're assigned to the people, and if you focus on that, then you'll find joy in your assignment no matter where it is.
I do also like the spirit of Isaiah, where Jehovah asks, Who shall I send? And without a hesitation, Isaiah pipes up, Here I am, send me. He was just willing to be sent.
And then there was logistics of figuring out how to simplify and how to actually get up there. It definitely takes courage to take an assignment where you're out of your comfort zone. We might have needed some courage for the assignment that we took, but we were so impressed with the courage that the other brothers demonstrated. There were a total of 16 different special pioneers that were assigned, and six of them had never experienced a winter. And they're being sent into the harshest of climates, the harshest of winters in northern Alaska.
When we saw these young men, without hesitation, going to very unique places out of their comfort zone, it inspired us.
And it wasn't just harsh climate, but it was darkness, no congregation,
isolation.
None of their friends, none of the family there.
They would get a taxi cab, drive them to the furthest part of their territory for that particular day, drop them off, and then they would work from that location back to their hotel. I would say one of the blessings that we enjoyed was seeing how Jehovah opened up the language group. Jehovah chose the right ones to get the first tract translated into the Yupik language.
One of the sisters who was asked to translate was intimidated because she did not know how to read or write the language. Contemplating on Noah, it gave her the courage to fulfill her assignment because she, like Noah, did just so.
You know, the scripture that says the blessings of Jehovah, that is what makes rich. That is so true. We could have stayed in Jersey in our little apartment, maybe even by now have a comfortable living. But what really makes life living is the people and friends you have. As it was once said, you can't outgive Jehovah. If anyone is considering going through a door that Jehovah has opened up for them, don't hesitate. You've got the support of Jehovah, unseen angels, his spirit, and the brotherhood, and the blessings are just waiting for you.
What good examples for us. But do you ever lack self-confidence? Some feel, oh, I'm not smart enough to learn a new language, or I'm not tough enough to handle an extreme climate. Moses also had concerns about his limitations. You may remember in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, where he told Jehovah, I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. He may have had a speech impediment. Was Jehovah limited by Moses' limitations? In the same way, Jehovah may have a different view of our capabilities than we do. So don't hold back. What do you need Jehovah to help you with? Is it to preach with boldness? Is it to be able to learn a new language? He wants to help you. What other opportunities may you have? You may have the opportunity to serve in seldom worked territory or unassigned territory. Locally, you may be able to try new forms of the ministry, or be able to try going out in the ministry at a different day of the week or time of day than you usually do. Even learning a simple greeting in a foreign tongue that's common in your area can be a way that you can expand your ministry. Another way brothers and sisters are showing courage is by preaching in areas with a high crime rate. While exercising caution, they show a willing attitude, just like Isaiah. In the following video, note both their courage and how they are blessed by Jehovah.
On one occasion, my son called me on the phone and said, Dad, come quickly. They kidnapped John. During a midweek meeting, three armed men showed up at the Kingdom Hall. They threatened to harm the brothers, their families, or the congregation unless they received a considerable sum of money.
I got to the Kingdom Hall, and when I opened the car door, a kidnapper was there waiting for me. They took me to an abandoned lot and left me there, but they took my car.
It's dangerous to preach in many parts of Mexico City, since we're in danger of being robbed at gunpoint. For instance, I once witnessed a shooting. My husband has been mugged. These kinds of things don't just happen in Mexico. They happen all over the world.
At the meetings, we had as many as 20 attendants at the doors of the Kingdom Hall so that the congregation would feel safe. When the meeting starts, the doors are closed, but we keep on the lookout. And if somebody wants to come in, we make sure that they will not pose a threat to the congregation. When we're preaching from house to house, we try to stay together as a group, and we're aware of our surroundings, watching out for any dangers.
We're always holding publications, like a magazine or a Bible. It helps us because people identify us as Jehovah's Witnesses. I try not to have any valuables on me, like a cell phone or jewelry.
It's a very productive territory. Even if it is such a dangerous area, a lot of people are coming to know Jehovah.
While I was in the car with the kidnapper, he asked me what the difference is between Jehovah's Witnesses and Christians. I didn't know I would have the opportunity to preach, but I did. When life gives you lemons, you make lemonade.
I greatly admire the sisters that go out in service, the courage they show. Because even though their territories are difficult, dangerous, they will not give up in this important work. For them, giving up is not an option, and I will never give up either.
Crime happens and will continue to happen, but we're determined to serve Jehovah no matter what. We should not be afraid of those who kill the body.
If we were to face this situation again, the congregation would not stop preaching. They love Jehovah so much, and they truly understand that their neighbors are also suffering from crime. So they put forth much effort to share a message of hope.
No, I will not stop preaching. This work must go on, whether there's violence or not.
In 1 Timothy 2 and 4, we learn it is Jehovah's will that all sorts of people be saved. But what might that involve for the preachers? Do all people live in safe neighborhoods? As we saw in the video, some parts where we preach in North America are dangerous. But does the preaching work need to be done in these areas? Does it remind you of a Bible example? What about the Apostle Paul? In 2 Corinthians 11 and 26, we read of some of Paul's hardships in the ministry. And one of these was dangers from robbers. Like Paul, our brothers and sisters who preach in these dangerous areas are showing courage. How can we imitate these examples? And please look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5. It says, "You, though, keep your senses in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelizer, fully accomplish your ministry." To fully accomplish our ministry, then, will require that we endure hardship. A courageous fireman is willing to risk his life to save people in a burning building, even if it only adds a few years to their lives. How much more so, then, should we show courage and self-sacrificing spirit when we can save people and help them to live forever? May we echo the brother in the video who was determined to serve Jehovah no matter what. How will this make Jehovah feel? What three lessons can we take home from this part? First of all, what will you do if Jehovah offers an opportunity for you to expand your ministry? Will you have a willing spirit like Isaiah and say, "Here I am, send me"? Second, prayerfully consider ways that you can expand your ministry. It could be a small way, like learning a few words in another language. Or it could be a big change, like moving. But Jehovah is interested and wants to bless you. And third, there are people hungering and thirsting for righteousness, but reaching them may require courage and self-sacrifice on our part. Like Isaiah, may we have a willing spirit to make ourselves available to help these ones.